This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, May 21st. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The ability to use artificial intelligence technology can be a big career booster. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, Nestle is introducing a new line of meals designed for people taking weight loss drugs, such as Ozempic. We welcome in Bruce Jabson, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, thank you for joining us today. And this is a story that has two different angles. I mean, there's the Nestle side of the equation as the snack makers get used to more and more people taking these GLP-1 medications. But also we have North Suburban-based Abbott, which is introducing a product to help people continue their weight loss journey, because there was a new report out this morning that says a lot of people who start taking weight loss drugs like Ozempic don't necessarily stick with it.
Yeah, Rob, definitely. I mean, these weight loss drugs are certainly a incredible development in science for their ability to help people lose weight. However, it's like anything. It's ask your doctor, and you need to protect. You can't just be eating like tater tots and pizza and continue these drugs and have them work for a long term, because a lot of people find that after these drugs are, if they stop them, the weight, your appetite comes back. And in some cases, doctors have said to me that that you end up eating more and gaining more weight back. So it's bad. So the bottom line is you have to change your diet, and you have to go to healthy products. So Abbott has nutritionals. As we know, they have baby formula, and they also have adult nutritionals. And they have this Protility brand, high-protein nutrition shakes. And then, of course, Nestle has a nutritionals business as well. And it's interesting. It kind of reminds you of when you buy a new car. You sit here and think, my God, I just bought a new car. And then all of a sudden you get the pitch for the, maybe I need those latest headlights or windshield wipers, or I need to get Sirius XM in my car. But who would want to do that, because they only need WBBM, right?
You're right.
So people are always, there's always added things that people do it. So there's this industry that's popping up around these weight loss drugs. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because if you're on any of these drugs, and you're like, wow, I've lost weight, whatever, you still have to change your lifestyle. So what Abbott and Nestle are doing is they see an opening here, you know, to get people to supplement their weight loss journey with some healthy nutritional products, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but hold on to your wallets, because this type of stuff is not cheap. It's expensive, and it adds to the healthcare cost equation.
Well, the weight loss drugs themselves are $10,000 out of pocket per year. And very quickly, Bruce, on the supplement side of the equation, this could provide a shot in the arm for some mall-based businesses that were struggling. For example, GNC rushing into this space as well.
For sure. That's for sure. I mean, let's face it. You can order just about anything online. I'm sure you can probably order these products online, but it's definitely a new market here. I mean, you're having, you know, thousands of people try these new drugs. And so Not necessarily everybody's going to go to these nutritionals, but if you can take even a fraction of the people that are on Ozempic and Wegovy and these other drugs, and there's about half a dozen of them now, you would certainly have a market potential. So it's probably a good move on the side of GNC and these other fitness stores, health food stores, to stock up on these things.
Bruce Jepson, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, how AI can enhance your paycheck.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Research from the consulting firm PwC finds jobs that require artificial intelligence skills pay significantly more than those that don't. Let's discuss the value of AI with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. It seems like in this case, though, it's not enough just to know about AI in and of itself and to noodle around with some of the free applications. You actually have to know how to leverage AI to make you more productive.
That's exactly right. So you have the ability to access data in volume. And of course, the problem with AI is it's an aggregation of other people's data. So it's not always accurate. So first of all, you have the data, more than you can manage. The real trick to managing AI as an expert, so-called, would be the ability to take the useful data that is validated and integrate it into a coherent marketing concept. In other words, to take something super complex and, for lack of a better way of describing it, dumb it down to where people understand and go, oh, yeah, that's what I want. That's useful. Because if you stay complex, no one gets it except those that read the New York Times. I don't know.
In the office, though, what is the general kind of the level of acceptance or level of skill when it comes to AI? Is this a situation where if you really know your stuff with AI, or at the very least are comfortable around it, you walk in head and shoulders above your new coworkers?
Well, it's across the board, and it's very much culturally driven. So it doesn't really matter what a company wants or admires if the senior executive team doesn't think it's useful or doesn't value it. And so this conversation could have been replaced by social media and social media marketing a few years ago. And a lot of the people that got into the social media expert area found that everyone thinks they're a social media expert. So you say, this is why we're doing this. And then the CEOs, no, I want this many views. And you're saying, well, you want views, but those views aren't useful because none of those are your customers. So with AI, it's the same thing. If the senior executives understand the value and understand what it's capable of and value it, then they have to find the people that can do that work effectively. And there's a lot of people who say, I'm an expert in AI, just as I can say I'm an expert in social media. And it's separating the reality from the theoretical or the claim.
We're talking about how you can use AI to boost your paycheck with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. This dovetails with another conversation we had not too long ago about who is using AI in the office, and that some employees could be using AI on their own time with their own applications, while the corner office might be a little more hesitant about using AI for what you talked about. They don't know what the value proposition is just yet. But for those who are doing AI in an off-the-books fashion, that could be a pretty valuable chip to play if they want to get a new job.
Absolutely. It's really useful because if you can deliver to the senior management team or whoever you report to results and information and coherent data and positions, that's always useful. Now, how you're doing it, I guess that's going to depend on the company, whether they are supporting AI or you're doing it independently. But if you can do that, that's a great way to continue to expand your brand. And also, rather than leave a company, I think people forget the opportunity to move within a company. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, I've got to get out of here because the culture isn't right, when the reality is the job I'm doing and the person I report directly to isn't really a good fit. But this company values me, or I can demonstrate value to the company. And by doing that, I can move myself over into another part of the company, and AI may be the tool that helps me do that.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the number of young adults seeking credit counseling is soaring. We'll talk about it and how you can get out if you're stuck.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
One of the country's largest nonprofit credit counseling organizations, Money Management International, says it's seeing an increase in people 18 to 29 looking for help. Let's discuss digging out of the hole, or better yet, staying out of one, with Matt Schultz, chief credit analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And for those of us who are not familiar with this particular service, what is credit counseling? When you say you're going to a credit counselor, what do they do for you?
They can do a lot of things. They can do everything from you start a budget and do really basic blocking and tackling stuff like that, all the way to helping you build a plan to attack that debt that you have, and even do things like negotiating lower rates and that sort of thing with your creditors. It's a really big help.
So basically, it's almost like it's like any counselor. They are here to help you with various action plans. Money Management International says the average debt for their young clients is now at $18,152. What types of debt are we talking about here?
Well, when you're talking about younger adults, there would certainly be student loan debt. Would definitely be one of those things. But then you're also talking about auto debt, credit card debt, personal loan debt. It really can run the gamut. And we're seeing that with lots and lots of people these days. And we're also seeing with young folks and generally across the board, late payments and delinquencies rising to levels that we haven't seen in a while.
What is one of the most common ways you can avoid falling into that particular trap? I mean, student loans, that's been said. There's been a lot of discussion about student loans, about policy and this, that, and the other thing. But other types of debt, auto debt, personal debt, credit card debt, what are some of the ways you can avoid falling into that particular trap?
Well, if you can save as much as you possibly can, especially if you're talking about an auto loan, the more you're able to put down and the less you need to finance, the better off you'll be. Obviously, that's easier said than done, and a lot of people don't even have the spare money to save for something like an emergency fund. But the more you can pay down with cash and the less you have to finance, the better off you'll be.
Matt Schultz, chief credit analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas. Also author of the new book, Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More, How to Take Control of Your Financial Life. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, places where the U.S. dollar goes the farthest for people on vacation. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The defense rests its case at the Trump hush money trial in New York. There's an update on the Chicago Police Department's effort to meet the requirements of a federal consent decree. Travel Tuesday, a strong U.S. dollar can make your experience even better. We'll look at places where you can take advantage of it. Also on the travel beat, dealing with severe turbulence while on a flight. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. Actually, just clicked higher, but not a whole lot of movement today. The Dow is up 12 points. The NASDAQ up just a fraction. The S&P 500 up 3. 85 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, former President Trump has opted not to testify at his criminal trial in New York, bringing his defense to a quick conclusion and clearing the way for jurors to begin deliberations next week. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum looks at one decision decision made by the court in the case.
In the end, Judge Marchand did not allow the Trump legal team to call Brad Smith, the former chairman of the Federal Election Commission. They wanted him to testify about campaign finance law. The judge said it was his job to instruct the jury on the law, which is true, and the jury instructions from this judge is going to be pivotal in this case. He has a lot of latitude in helping them determine what facts they must find.
Closing arguments are expected to begin next Tuesday following Memorial Day weekend. The Chicago Police Department is coming up short on reporting all incidents where officers point their weapons at someone while on the job. That's according to a report in the Tribune. That requirement is part of a federal consent decree that's been in place for more than 5 years. The paper says the city's Office of Emergency Management and Communications provided records showing just 12 reported incidents of that type over a five-year window initially requested by the Tribune. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are slightly higher right now. We welcome in Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And once again, it just goes to show you how big of a deal NVIDIA is, that basically the markets are trading like they would before a Fed day. Everyone's holding their breath.
100%. And NVIDIA, I mean, such a remarkable stock and story in the AI, but the chart is just incredible that it could constantly, you know, it had an amazing, really steep pullback after flying, you know, towards 975. It fell nearly $200 to 760 in the correction, and now has a chance to really set an closing high once again for the stock. Now, you know, who knows what's going to happen when they release earnings.
And once again, this is a situation where it seems like NVIDIA has to deliver another blowout that's what the street's looking for.
Yes. Now, we were, like many investors, we owned NVIDIA, and, you know, we sort of scaled back our position into sort of reduce. That, you know, I think many people are, but, you know, a lot of people are just thinking, you know, it could just be another blowout number and could go well over 1,000. So we'll just have to wait and see what the market reaction is going to be. Obviously, the bar is set so high now. You know, the company is now one of the top five most valuable in the world. You know, it does not make software like Google or Microsoft. You know, it makes chips that ultimately may come under some pressure. So we'll really have to see. It is pivotal and important, as you point out.
We're talking about today's market activity with Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago. JP Morgan Chase shares falling today. And that's interesting because at first blush, their first quarter report wasn't that bad. And in fact, they seem to be doing pretty well in an old school business plan, bringing back good old-fashioned brick-and-mortar bank branches.
Yeah, I think, you know, J.P. Morgan's been a great story, and the stock has been incredible. You know, after 2 years, the financials were really not in favor. But think, Rob, you know, the stock has jumped this year from 150 to 200. And, you know, just when these stocks get this big, any kind of, you know, excuse, you know, they can drop like this. You know, 5% is not unusual for even big companies. But, you know, these are the opportunities actually created in the market. So a lot of stocks are very high right now, but there is volatility. So even good stocks like JP Morgan can have bad days, come back down maybe into a buy zone.
I'm just saying, if they're bringing back branch banking, Matt, they also bring back those pneumatic tubes they had in the drive-through when we were kids. You put the tube in, and then it comes back, and then they give you lifesavers and that little fuzzy thing you'd stick on your dashboard. Just a free idea to J.P. Morgan Chase, in case they needed that from us. But another thing inside their report, and that is the consumer is still spending, but they're spending on lower ticket items. I mean, they're very inflation conscious, and so they're settling for less, even though they continue to spend.
Yeah, and you know, that's sort of I think the inflation story, which is critical to the market, that's gotten a little bit better over the past month, and it's consumers being discriminating. So some of the price growth hasn't been, you know, as much, you know, in consumer spending. So some companies, you know, have had bad earnings reports, like some of the food manufacturers, where consumers pull back a little bit. They're not going to, like, take high prices forever. So I think it's the same thing, you know, coming, as you point out, in the J.P. Morgan Chase report, is that people are being a little bit more careful. And, you know, I think that's a logical thing. You know, we'll have to see with employment reports over the next couple months if there's still a moderating trend. And, you know, I think the Federal Reserve actually likes to see some caution in consumer spending. That's the one thing I think they want to also cool off in order to sort of set the path for lowering interest rates.
And very quickly, Matt, it sounds like some of the Fed governors are starting to say that, yes, that one consumer price index print, that was encouraging, but we need to see two or three to see if we're actually in a winning streak.
They will have to. And, you know, fundamentally, most of the statistics are pretty good, Rob. It's housing, you know, rents, things like that, that make up about 60% of those inflation numbers that are proving very stubborn. But, you know, things with consumer spending getting a little soft here and there, you know, there's lots of things that could go our way in the inflation. And I think certainly the trend is positive overall.
Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, taking advantage of a strong U.S. dollar.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, and the U.S. dollar is currently strong in some popular destinations. Let's see where to get your best bang for the buck with Cindy Richards, Editor-in-Chief, SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Cindy, thank you for joining us today. And I think we all have vacation stories of traveling overseas and having that moment where maybe the exchange rate is not necessarily working in your favor. But there are some places where when you walk up to the counter and you put down that greenback, you could discover that you're the king of this island.
Absolutely, especially right now with the dollar so strong. And it's not just in Europe. I mean, there are a lot of places in Asia. Japan, for one, is hugely cheap right now, because the Japanese currency is doing very poorly against the U.S. dollar. The flights are very expensive, but once you get there, it can be an affordable vacation. Same with Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Thailand, places like that, where once you get there, it's going to be super affordable.
Now, what are some rule things to avoid so you really can make sure that the exchange rate works in your favor? Because if you do go to change your dollars into yen, and you're walking out of there with like 5,000 yen, 6,000 yen or more, what can you do to make sure you're actually getting a good deal?
Well, it always feels like you're really rich when you have 5,000 of any currency, doesn't it? Well, I think the first thing you want to do is download an app so that you can do the currency exchange on your phone before you decide what you're going to buy. I'm also a big believer in if you're going to a Western destination, put things on your credit card rather than exchanging a lot of cash. You never want to walk around a place with a lot of cash that, you know, if someone picks your pocket, the money's gone. So use credit cards if you can. I mean, there'll be places that adventure travelers might be going where a credit card doesn't work. But as long as you can use credit cards, I'm a big believer in that. Call your company before you go. Get a credit card that doesn't charge exchange rate fees so you don't get ripped off by the credit card that you used while you were in a foreign country.
And also call your credit card to let them know that, yes, I'm actually traveling, so they don't lock you out of transactions if you're trying to pay for that nice dinner overseas.
Excellent point. Yes, that happened to me once. So, yes, yeah, so you learn that lesson the hard way. You know, the thing about going to Europe, you know, places that don't use the euro, like Croatia, Poland, places like that, they're already affordable, and then they're not tied to the euro, which frankly, the euro exchange rate is already pretty good, can be super affordable places to go. Once you get there, you know, I was in Croatia not very long ago, and there I saw a B&B sign that was literally a block from the beach, and it was $10 US a night. So you can find super affordable, I didn't go in, I don't know what it looked like, but you can find super affordable things to do. What you have to think about is how you can save money on the airfare, because airfare is still really expensive. And my big tip for flying to Europe is, and as we know, right, Taylor Swift is doing her number on the economies in Europe and getting all of us to fly there to see her tour. So what you want to do is check nearby airports. For example, because inter-European travel is very cheap. You can fly cheaply because there's a lot of budget airlines. You can take a train. You can maybe take a ferry. There are a lot of ways, a lot of very affordable ways to get around Europe. So, you know, check the, don't just look at the place you want to go. Check the flights into London, into Paris. I was just looking before we got on the call and found a round trip flight to Lisbon was going to be like $1,500 from Chicago. But I also found a flight from Chicago to London for $700 and then a flight from London to Lisbon for $149.
So that's a lesson a lot of Swifties are learning, not only in the exchange rate, but also in geography. And that's not some type of extreme lesson in fandom, because as we discussed not too long ago, because of the restrictions on ticket fees in Europe, you could actually either save money seeing Taylor Swift across the pond or have a comparable experience to seeing her in the States and with a nice little European adventure tacked on to it.
Absolutely, especially when you're buying that adventure with U.S. dollars and you can go out to a really nice dinner for 10 or 15 bucks American. You can stay in a B&B for $50. You can find some, probably not in the place that Taylor's playing on that night, but it, you know, outside of that town, you can probably find a great rate and then commute in to see the show.
Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief, SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday and still to come when airplane turbulence becomes more than an annoyance.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Severe turbulence on a Singapore Airlines flight out of London today left one person dead, 30 other people injured. We're joined by Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. This particular flight hit severe weather above Thai airspace, and it descended almost 6,000 feet in a matter of minutes. This is a Boeing 777 extended range, 211 passengers. The one person who died, officials believe, was a 73-year-old British national who they believe had a heart attack during this event. But some of the witness reports are just staggering, seeing the dents of the heads of passengers who were not buckled in during this turbulence event.
Yeah, this was not just an incident. This was almost an accident. Since much of the vent work above came down, hit people in the head. We had equipment coming down from the ceiling that broke through the shield. So it's a really indication of how even when people are buckled in with this increased turbulence we're seeing, a new study came out saying turbulence has gotten worse in the last couple of years, but actually have the loss of life, somebody who apparently was in the seatbelt. That's really quite a story.
Now, the operationally, from the airline's point of view, what can airlines do as far as planning flight routes and making sure you can avoid severe weather so that these types of turbulence events don't occur?
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing major airlines really push seatbelt use in the middle of flights more than they used to. What's happening is airlines are getting better at taking off in inclement weather. So you get the plane up above ground, but you're still going over a storm. So you encounter this turbulence. So we're in fact putting airlines a bit more harm's way. And if there hasn't been any major accidents, we're having these kind of incidents that occur. But certainly more rerouting around tough weather as we find. Even these big planes, 777, which is, you know, a large jet that's quite heavy, that's less vulnerable to turbulence. Boy, it's a harrowing experience.
And generally, what is the cause of turbulence? Is it just like very high winds aloft? I mean, obviously, if you're flying above or around storms, turbulence is part of the equation. But what are the most likely situations outside of severe weather that you can find yourself in turbulence in the air?
Yeah, you look at different pressure in the air, the amount of lift that that airplane has going to suddenly change if the air pressure differs. Of course, we can have a different wind pattern where a plane is sort of in equilibrium and suddenly it gets a side wind and it affects the whole dynamics of the airplane. You know, also, I think we're seeing that these two-engine jets are probably a little more vulnerable than some of the four- and three-engine jets we had a while back just by the nature of the aerodynamics of the airplane. So it's we're going to see a lot more attention to this.
Joe Schwederman, Professor of Public Services, Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.